You're listening to Mondo Cool, the only Dragon Ball movie podcast that gives you a Zenkai boost.
That's right, boys. Mondo Cool.
What's up, Dragon Ballers? Welcome back. It's time for another edition of Mondo Cool, our Dragon Ball movie review podcast. This is a great podcast that we definitely record every week and not every 8 months.
So this main guy, his name's Goku, is that right?
Gok?
Pretty sure his name's Zero.
Which one of them's Ichi-chan?
I don't know. I'm Casey Excellent, CaseyExcellent.com. With me, something two great Dragon Ball fans, Dan and Bob Video Games of Gigaboost.com.
Everything has a weakness.
I like Dragon Ball.
Feel, Mr. Feels Wild Ride.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
That was a good Sonic 06 impersonation.
Are you like, Sonic, hey. Man? I made up a new word, Lappy Lappy. Does this have anything to do with the Astral Chain character?
No, but it might have something to do with Pitchy Pitchy Gals.
If you've never seen this show before, it's weird to come in on episode 19, but what we've been doing is going through every Dragon Ball film from the originals all the way up to Z and KZ, other weird things later.
Don't call them weird order. For joining in at this point. Maybe their favorite movie is this one. We can't judge them.
But we can judge this movie.
Fuck. Who knows? Who knows? I know nothing of what my hosts think of what we're about to watch today or talk about that we watch someday. We watch Dragon Ball films, then we score them after Dan talks about the plot for 35 minutes, and I came up with segments, I guess. You can also get this early via the Patreon website. Feel, say words.
Well, if you'd like early access to Mondo Cool and other content, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get early access to this, what you're listening to right now, not this episode specifically, because you're already hearing it, but future ones, as well as Chugging Bleach, our other anime review podcast, and Cursed Content commentary tracks, where we review and then you get a commentary track for the horrible movie we watched, as well as Cursed Content by Committee, the same concept but user voted and Patreon exclusive, also includes a commentary track, as well as Extended Armchair Dev Pitches. Armchair Devs is a show where we make shit up and stab each other, and you get to hear a more thorough fleshed out version of those knives if you contribute to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast.
Thank you for that. Now, it may or may not have been a while since we last recorded one of these. That may not be true. But I believe at this point I tell the audience, this time we watched a new Dragon Ball film. It was Dragon Ball Z Wrath of the Dragon, or as it's called in Japanese.
Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Fist Explosion. If Goku can't do it, who will? I don't know who.
This is one of the worst names.
Or Dragon Ball Z, Ryukin Bakuhatsu, Goku Gayara Nebadara Gayaru.
Oh, now it's a great title.
Man, he almost yabba dabba dude.
So what do I need to do if I can't defeat the Ryukin?
You have to go train for 1,000 more years.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit. Dan?
Mm.
How fast can we get through this movie?
Surprisingly easy. And the reason why is because they buff down any thought processes or any proclivities of the plot to a smooth, smooth surface that I could just glide right through.
God, it's like... this movie is bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Because they tried to make like almost a real movie, but it still has to be 45 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So it just feels like it has rocket skates on.
So, to talk about the plot of this movie really briefly, the opening shot is of a weird alien with a sword being attacked by a giant dragon foot or something, and he just gets owned immediately. Then we get an epileptic seizure title screen, and then we cut to Saiyaman. What do they call
Saiyaman 2.
Okay, Saiyaman 2 in the States.
Yeah, I think she even told herself in the States.
Yeah, because in Japan, it's like Mark 1, Mark 2.
I thought it was Doki Doki Panic over in...
No, no, it's Doki Doki Literature Club is the original name of Dragon Ball in Japan. So anyway, they're fighting in a city to protect people. We get some cool scenes. I think about how my number one disappointment with Dragon Ball Z is how they didn't spend more time with Saiyaman and evolve the series in a more interesting direction at this point. But we're not going to worry about that. We move past them solving some crimes and some other stuff to... Okay, Gohan and Videl are going to show up for class and things are going to be normal. Oh no, a guy's jumping from a building. Okay, we're leaving class immediately and going to go talk to him. Videl says, do it, you won't. And then he does. He jumps off the building.
He's like, kill yourself, pussy.
Yes, that's literally what she says. She should never work for a suicide hotline.
If this was Cursed Content Club, I think that would be best seen.
Probably. I did kind of lose it. I'm like, man. They did not pull a single punch with characterizing her in this. She's like, do it, you won't. Is kind of insane. So this old man who's a really short alien that is suspect as hell.
And from Earth.
Totally, he says that a bunch of times. He jumps off, they grab him. They're like, what's your deal? He goes, this magic box, it makes music. Can you turn the crank? And they go, no, we can't. Okay, we should go. And Gohan goes, but anything could be in the box. It could even be a boat. You know how much we want one of those. So anyways, they...
Yes.
So the old man convinces them to be interested in opening this box because a hero will erupt out of it. And he's going to save them from the true evil that will soon show up to destroy Earth. But he's an Earthling and he knows all about this. And then they bring it to like the Z headquarters and everyone's like, we can't open it either. Bulma, can you science? And she's like, I cannot science. And they're like, well, shit, let's get Shenron to open this box.
What a good fucking movie.
Did you want to check with, I don't know, Piccolo or anyone knows that mystical stuff?
You want to check with anyone?
You want to talk to Piccolo, who's kind of a fucking super genius in terms of magical shit?
You want
to go talk to your dad and be like, hey, can you ask that weird catfish guy who talks in your head if he knows anything about this magic box?
No.
Go with the fortune.
It was like the fucking weirdest thing. You know, you always like you hear about people that stand out in a crowd. That's Goku, because we get the shot in the lab and everyone's there, but Goku's there and I have a seizure. Because I'm like, when is this supposed to happen? What? Okay. Now that I've dealt with that, Goku now fits in with everyone else and I'm not going to think at all. Until we get to the part where it's implied that because of certain characters in this, that's why Trunks has a sword. But we're not going to think about that until later in the synopsis. So anyway, they go to get the Dragon Balls. We get a really cool montage of Goku falling into a lion cage and them having to shoot the lion. It's very cool. It's, we keep moving along. We get more Dragon Balls.
With a gun.
Yes. We get all the Dragon Balls. We shove in Shenron. Then they go, hey, open this box, and he's like, well, that's easy, because this won't solve any problems. I can do it.
Now this I can handle.
I've got this one. Leave box Jiren to me. Anyway, opens the fucking box. Light erupts out of it. Things are going crazy. You get some cool guy who has an ocarina and a sword.
You get Chrono from Chrono Trigger.
It's very cool. He starts forming out of clouds out of the box, and the old man just starts arcing with evil energy in a way that's hilarious, and he's doing this 10 feet behind all the Z warriors. Yeah. No one knows.
Yeah, thankfully, just enough behind that no one can feel it.
Yeah. Has a real Xehanort leaving through the giant dark portal when nobody's looking energy.
It's so bad. It's like, I really wanted that shot to be followed up with all of those Z fighters just looking at him.
Oh, that would have been good.
But no. It's a DBZ movie, so it has to be insanely dumb and boring. What do you mean?
So the cool guy who comes out of the box goes, you fucking ruined everything. And just walks away.
I'm leaving now.
I will not tell you what's wrong, but I'm very upset.
I'm not going to explain anything. So, that's when I realized, people in anime just have crippling social anxiety and can't explain important plot details to main characters.
Dan will continue, it'll become apparent from Dan's summary, but this character, Tapion, has like a real, I'm writing a fanfic energy.
because yes. he aesthetically he's really different from every other Dragon Ball character. He doesn't really interact with them. He mostly like hangs out and broods, and he has a sword in a series, and he has like a sword and weird magic powers in a series that really doesn't have either of those. So it really feels like some 14-year-old wrote their fanfic where their original character showed up in Dragon Ball.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is post Majin Buu, so Majin Buu's magic and the sword Trunks, clearly that's the same sword as Trunks. Spoilers for later in the synopsis.
It just seemed like they ran out of gas since this is the last Dragon Ball Z movie of this type.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, since this one had like the most effort put into it because it actually had new designs by Toriyama, which is Tapion and some other character in this, I forget who, when mostly it's just like, just make something up. They're like, Toriyama, sir, can you please make us a new character? And he's like, well, I just finished making this fucking Chrono Trigger game. I have lunch in 30 minutes.
It's certainly better than the Jump Force designs he made.
Hey.
Yeah.
So moving on with the synopsis. We get a fun little dinner. Who knows why? They're celebrating opening a box, I guess.
Goku's hungry.
Everyone goes, where's the old man? Someone probably sat on him. Ha ha ha. Roshi's like, I'm a pervert. And then Bulma slaps him. The kids... Trunks, Goten, they grab some of the little skewers of food, the kebabs, and they run it off to the mystic, cool OC who popped out of the box. They give it to him. They're like, hey, you want this food since you're hanging out in this shanty shack, this abandoned warehouse? Here's some food. And he's like, go away, leave me alone. They're like, okay, we'll be back tomorrow with more food. And then the timeline of this movie gets a little weird because we hard cut to half of a fucking dragon kicking the shit out of the city. And Videl and Gohan are there in their Saiyaman outfits. And I'm like, everyone else said, we're not leaving this party, Gohan. You go save them.
Yeah. Okay. I am really glad that our prediction from the last episode that this movie specifically would look really bad was not true. Because if it had, I just imagine those legs like bouncing like the fucking giant chicken in Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
No! Yes.
Up and down, back, like the legs DMC troll dancing.
Yes. They're like, how do we stop it? And it just keeps horizontal flipping.
The screen shakes each time.
Yeah, when the movie first started, there's like a scene where there's showing like a full street filled with cars, and I was like, wow, this is more animation I expected the whole show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally fair. Gohan, Videl, they try to fight the kaiju legs. It's half of the kaiju. It's just a dragon from the gut down, just walking around, stomping the shit out of stuff.
They visited Lost Izalith and Dark Souls, where you have to fight the dragon asses.
Gohan does a cool move. Videl's like, yeah, you got it. And he's like, it's not over yet. And then apparently it was over because the mystic guy played a song on his ocarina.
And then
the old man is like up on a rooftop, and they look up at the old man and they go, who's that? We can't just fly up there and look.
God, every time something like this is written into a DBZ piece of media, like GT does this constantly. It's like, you guys can move faster than light. Go check it out. It'll take less than a
grand tour.
I'm tired.
Of a second.
I'm tired.
Nope. We have to have mystery. And yeah. I forgot how to write that.
Yes.
Maybe Dragon Ball can't have a mystery. How about that?
Maybe they should stop trying to have mysteries then.
Yeah. Maybe they're not allowed.
So we cut back to the warehouse. Trunks has brought him nice sandwiches, like in the game Dragon Power. You get some nice triangle cut sandwiches.
Looks
real good, and a carton of milk. And he goes, hey, you didn't eat your food from yesterday. And in the Japanese dub, he goes, oh, you don't eat? I don't know. Stuck with me. Anyway.
I like the English version because it assumes that Trunk isn't insane and would be, oh, you didn't eat, you must not need to.
Yeah, there's It's really funny seeing the divide between the US dub and the original script
we'll
on this.
We'll get to that. The funniest one in the entire Mondo Cool saga is in this movie.
Uh-oh. Great. So we cut from that, I shit you not, to Videl and Bulma washing dishes. And I out loud while watching this made the joke of, yeah, that's great, Bulma. I'm glad Trunks has a friend. Can I go now? Can I leave? Can you remove this ankle bracelet that you put on me to trap me in your house and wash your dishes? Because this scene's insane. Like, they're like, two women are talking in this scene. Where should we put them? Well, we did women be shopping in the other movie. Let's have them wash dishes.
Jesus.
Well, it makes sense. They were talking about, you know, extra dishes. And then you tell me the Japanese script didn't even talk about dishes in that one. So really, it's just all fucking nightmare.
I'm going to be honest. Maybe.
Shut up,
maybe
please.
The U.S. dub just tried to explain it.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
You're probably
Toei
right.
Animation ain't real. Funimation makes all anime.
Oh, man. That's crazy. Oh god, they don't acknowledge extra dishes. They just go, yeah, Trunks is sneaking him food.
They
watched it anyway. We're gonna ignore all of that. We're not talking about any of it.
I'm going to bed now.
So we move on from there. The most hilarious, we had to write women in a scene, so I guess they'll wash some dishes. To the old man looking menacing, Trunks back at the cool warrior's place. So I forgot to talk about before the dishes, actual plot stuff.
Are you sure?
The cool mystic warrior. Do we even get a name for this guy? We get one for his brother. We get one for the evil monster.
Yeah, we got his name.
What's
yeah,
his
he's
name?
Tapion. Yeah.
I thought Tapion was the name of the dragon. What's the name of the... Oh, right. The name of the dragon is Harutagon.
Yeah, Harutagon. Yes. Awesome character. I'm sure he's in one of the fighting games.
I'm sure he's in probably most of them before fighters.
I was gonna say he's in Tenkaichi, isn't he?
I don't know.
Everybody was in those.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that. I'm
like if he's in anything, he's in Tenkaichi, like the last one. Because
hell yeah.
Because I don't remember this guy ever showing up in a game before. But maybe I'm just
let's see. He was in Budokai Tenkaichi 2, Budokai Tenkaichi 3, Ultimate Tenkaichi, and Battle of Z.
Yeah,
it's Battle of Z.
Yeah, the Budokai Tenkaichi is when they started saying you can be the big guys. Fantastic video games.
So anyway, the upper half of this dragon, Hildegarn, or as you might call it, Harutagon, appears out of a portal and starts attacking the warrior. Things are tense. He drops the ocarina. He grabs it just in time. He dodges another attack. And then Tapiana starts playing a song on the ocarina and absorbs Harutagon into himself. It's very mysterious. The place is shit wrecked, and then that's when Trunks shows up with triangle sandwiches.
Yes.
Ooh.
And then we get that great scene about washing dishes. Post the dishwashing scene, old man shows up. He's like, give me the ocarina, after attacking Trunks to try to get the ocarina because the other guy dropped the ocarina because he made him drop the ocarina. And then there's a tense minute-long scene of who's Trunks gonna give it to? The bad guy or the cool mystic warrior guy? Who knows? The bad guy looks so trustworthy. Oh, he gave it to the mystic warrior guy. Okay, that's...
Confirmed smarter than Terra.
Jesus Christ. We then cut to Trunks and mystic warrior dude Tapion hanging out. The weird thing is his name's Tapion, but in Japan, in America, they say Tapion. Like their voice director didn't let them know it's this type
tape
of bass
worm.
Sound. Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. Anyways, Tapion is hanging out with Trunks and they're playing with some toys. One of the toys falls into two halves. Tapion has some PTSD. We cut away from that. Trunks is now going to sleep. Tapion's telling him the story. And this movie's so exciting that Trunks falls asleep.
Ooh.
he explains how his little brother was a little brother, and he misses his little brother, and he might be dead, but Trunks doesn't hear that part of the story. And then, okay, this is actually really important to cover. Bulma meets Tapion in the hallway as he's leaving. Tapion explains, "There's a phantasm locked away inside of my body," is the original Japanese text. And I love that because she takes it pretty well. And so we have this moment where Bulma is going to have the whole mechanism of he plays the ocarina to lock the monster inside of him and he can't sleep because then the monster will escape. Explain to her. And then she goes, "I get it. I'll make you a race car bed."
Hell yeah.
He also explains the lore of, and man, this lore's fucking insane. Here we go.
God, it's such a mess.
The short old man is a part of a race of wizards. His name is Hoi, apparently. And they're spiteful dicks who want to kill everyone in the universe. So they travel a lot and they make it to the planet that Tapion's home race lives on, and the home planet of his race. And they get an ancient evil to awaken.
Oh, man, I love it when an ancient evil awakens.
In order to obliterate the hell out of the denizens of that planet. But then a god gives them, god in the Japanese script, I believe it's a wizard in the American script. A wizard
wizards.
Gives them an ocarina to calm the monster and distract it while a dude slices it in half with the sword. And then when he does that, they are now able to absorb the halves into each of them. So Tapion and his younger brother, whose name is bad and I can't remember. Mission? Monisha? What?
Who cares?
Moshion?
It's spelled like Minotia, but
Minotia.
I'm trying to get a hint from what his name is based on. Because Tapion is based on tapioca, which is how I know how to pronounce that.
Oh, I never
put
that
together. It's an anagram of coconut.
That's the planet.
So I guess it's a
Minotia. That's the planet, yeah.
No, it's both. Yeah, it's both. It's an anagram of coconut.
Oh.
It's like supposed to be the same thing.
Oh.
It's an anagram of Yasha no Mi, which means coconut.
Oh. Okay. So Harutagon, the phantasm, is sealed inside of him, the other half in front of his little brother. As it turns out, that opening shot was his little brother getting stomped by the fucking lower half of that dragon, of Hildegarn. I could not hear them say Harutagon and not laugh. It was way too funny.
What's wrong?
That's a great sounding name is what's wrong. It's too good.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you get the explanation of, so then they sealed us in these magic music boxes and flew us off to the opposite ends of the universe or galaxy. It's galaxies. That's how things are supposed to go. He's convinced his little brother's dead. Bulma, you know, said she would make him a race car bed, which is my way of saying she's like, I have pieces of the music box left. I can make you an REM cycle room. And then he walks in and they're spinning CDs and it's hilarious. That room, that chamber is the funniest shit ever because they have gears and stuff at the front. But in the back, they have what are obviously spinning compact discs that are huge on the wall. And this is supposed to help him sleep. This is supposed to give him his energy. I don't know in what world.
It's just like the music box. What? What's wrong?
It's funny as hell is what it is. And it just made me think, yeah, she built him a fancy race car bed. I don't know. Fucking.
Just sleep in this car wash.
Mm-hmm. Harutagon starts attacking.
I want to sleep in a car wash.
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know. It'd be soothing.
A little bit. So Hildegarn's attacking the city. Kind of comes out of nowhere. Tentacles now can erupt out of its tail. It starts eating people. It's pretty fucking crazy.
Ooh.
We do a super zoom all the way to Tapion, who's in the race car bed, and he starts screaming and freaking out as energy waves fly everywhere, and then he blows open a hole. The giant leg comes down and stomps. Oh my god. It's so fucking convoluted.
Please.
Energy down. Energy waves fly around. It's a crazy effect. We cut to someone else. They come in. The wall is blown open. Then everyone gathers to go, man, Tapion went away. He then shows up to be like, yeah, what's up? I'm here. Things went bad. Then a giant foot appears from fucking Hildegarn and stomps the fucking wall.
It's Rudagon, actually.
Rudagon. Rudagami. Origami. Stomps the fucking wall. Everyone's now there. We gathered the Z Fighters to witness all of this. And, yeah. Cool. That's, from here, it's not really all that interesting. It's the fight scenes. Does anyone else want to talk about any of
that? It's super weird that somehow none of the Z Fighters noticed that there was a giant rampage going on in the city, apparently right next door.
Yes, that's the most noteworthy thing about this entire scene.
Next door in Gotham City.
See? Herudagarn doesn't have sensible energy, and they're so dependent on it, they're all blind and deaf when they can't sense someone's energy.
So that's what
I'm going with.
So his energy isn't sensible, it's outrageous. Or it's radical.
Do they, in the Japanese dub, do they mention they can't sense his energy?
No, I just made that up to try to make movie totally, make sense.
He's
doing that thing that fans of things do.
Yes, explanation I've heard for this dragon thing at the end of the movie.
Yeah, it's called not being toxic, Mr. CinemaSins.
No, it's called, so then she sniped him and ended the war. That's what it's called.
That's called good media.
That's called Wikipedia's going to explain some things that weren't in the movie. So anyway, Tapion can no longer contain the power of the dragon. So it just reforms into the full dragon right outside of Bulma's house. And it's crazy. Wow. And we're going to do a fight scene and all the Z Fighters are there. And it's very good.
I feel like you're selling this too hard with being a dragon. This is just Cell, but looks worse.
He gets even more Cell in a moment. This is Cell, but his head is a skull and it's also stretchy.
He's like Toriyama design, like 45, which I feel like he uses in every other Dragon Quest game.
It's gray goo. Yeah, I was Toriyama gonna say, design. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really fucking Dragon Quest looking enemy. Like I can't remember the exact enemy I'm thinking of, but anyway, this thing's magical abilities that it can turn into smoke or whatever when people try to attack it and reform in order to attack other things. It's a rather uninteresting fight. I don't think there's a noteworthy part for most of it.
He owns everyone and it just feels completely unearned and kind of dumb. Yeah.
We get all these moments.
They're like, you're 35 minutes in. It should be winning.
We get all these moments of him beating the shit out of all these Z Fighters. And then Vegeta shows up out of nowhere. And in the US dub, he's like, I finally get a break and you ruin it. And I'm just like,
it's way more insane that he says, I was enjoying my first day off in a month. And I'm like,
it's like, what are you doing?
Your wife is
rich.
You have
no job.
Is your job fucking her? Is like that what you consider your job?
Because he has no job except just fucking sit around and get begged.
And on top of all of the shit they've already said, there have been multiple days in this movie already and you were nowhere.
Well, Vegeta is off doing his job, Dan.
He must have a new job.
He's doing his space job.
Yes.
That's it. Bob, what's his job?
He's obviously a space detective.
Oh, shit. Oh. Dragon Ball has those.
Yes.
Dan, what is his job?
I'm going to say he directs traffic in space, so when capsules come by, he has to wave them on or tell them to stop.
Feel.
Bulma has him wearing a mascot suit and holding a sandwich board.
Yeah, he works part-time at a Hollywood video.
In space!
Yes, in space.
Great. I'm
well,
glad.
Well, yes, here's his ruined day off.
So, yeah, his day off is ruined. He's going to have to get back to the Hollywood video. So he goes Super Saiyan immediately because, you know, that's our Vegeta. He gets it that he should just go.
A smart character, I guess, unlike many others.
Go all out immediately. I don't know if that's smart. He's still working at a Hollywood video and his wife is rich. Anyway, he tries to attack the dragon. The dragon sends him flying into an office building. The dragon's then going to use fire on him. So he causes an energy shield to protect all of the office workers in the building he flew into from the fire. And it's successful, but then he passes out and he's dealt with. And then we immediately cut to Hildegarn just lighting up other buildings.
Yeah, no, it's weird Haruta that they make a cool thing out of like a superhero moment of saving these people, and it's just like, well, then don't worry about everyone else in town.
All these other buildings are empty, I guess.
Also, that immediately owns him. It's like, you blocked a little bit of fire, Vegeta. This didn't look like a lot, and you just passed out. Like, every single one of the Z Fighters has that moment in this movie.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
because
everybody is, there's way more strong people now because it's after Boo, so it's like, we have to get rid of them. They all have to have a really bad showing.
So then Goten and Trunks fuse into Gotenks, and they're immediately Super Saiyan 3, and I'm like, see, why didn't Goku do that? What the fuck is he doing? They do some cool moves and stuff, and it seems like Harutagon might be owned, but in fact, he's forming a cocoon, then he comes out of it, and he's even more Cell-like.
He's just a bug. He looks way fucking worse. Fuck the second form of Harutagon.
Yeah, please be nice.
He's possibly one of the worst looking like movie villains in DBZ, which is impressive.
I'm trying to lie to myself. Can you let me do that?
So when
I like the first form, it's okay, and then the second form's like, no, you can't have anything that looks remotely good.
So when Harutagon comes out, he immediately owns everyone super super fast. Like, starts choking out Gohan with his tail. Shoots fire at Videl. She gets owned. Everyone's just getting owned left and right. It's going.
Krillin doesn't even try anymore.
He was there getting a Dragon Ball earlier, and I forgot he was in the movie at all.
Yeah. Got scared by fucking a spooky house.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea. Nothing's really noteworthy about this fight except for Goku's like, I'm going to try now, and then gets owned. That's it.
Yeah.
So they're all fucked up.
Doesn't he have that iconic new phrase, though?
That's true. He does have his iconic new phrase of going Super Saiyan, staring at Harutagon, and going, every living thing has a weakness. And I'm just like, I like this, Goku. We should stick him in everything. He should look villains directly in the eye and go, all living things die.
Like, Jesus.
Yeah, if I could have gotten 18 other movies featuring this guy, that would have been great.
That would definitely be pretty good.
That may have raised Return of Cooler up a few notes if we could just get Goku to stare him in the eye and he's like, no one can escape death, Cooler.
It's a bit more insane than when Lord Slug says, join me, and it's like, we're self-employed.
Yes, that was good! Incredibly noteworthy, this is a US-only line.
Oh, of course it is a good line!
it's really good. Just like the one you brought up.
Thank you, Sean.
Oh, man. But yeah, no, this is, once again, the fight immediately goes into just being bad with Goku fighting it. He gets the shit kicked out of him. He untransforms for Super Saiyan. Then Tapion gets an idea. He's like, I'm going to play on my ocarina. And the Harutagon's just like, I'm not going to have that. Shoots fire at him. He has an energy shield around him as he continues to play the ocarina. Everyone's like, what the hell is this? And then he absorbs the entire dragon. And as he falls to the ground, Trunks is like, yeah, you got him. Good job. As he talks to a body on the ground, and it's like, oh no, is he dead? And Tapion's like, no, I'm not dead, but now you need to kill me, pierce my heart. Hands him the sword, and Trunks is like, oh my god. And he's like, if you don't kill me, all your friends will die. And he goes, oh no, I don't know if I can do it. And he's like, you need to do it so that way you kill me and Harutagon. And the whole time I'm seeing this, I'm like, are you sure that works?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, seems like a risky thing to be like, let's test this right now.
It's like, I guess they could bring you back with the dragon later, but do you know how much damage it's going to do to Trunks if you're wrong?
Yeah, nothing about that story made it seem like this would have worked. Like, why would you have sealed them in the boxes if you could just killed them?
Yeah, I feel like you would have just killed them.
It seems bizarre.
Because they're basically dead anyway.
Yeah.
Inside
an obligatory fucking thing, because somebody will bring it up in the comments.
Okay.
Well, I have to, as the Dragon Ball lore guy. Wow, I sure wish there was a thing in the Dragon Ball universe for sealing evil things into tiny jars.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Like, that definitely doesn't
like
exist.
Evil containment wave or something.
That's a really weird name. I think they would definitely choose a better one.
Yeah, why would you make that up, KZ? Jesus.
Yeah, they should have used the Mufasa.
Tapion, after having this talk with Trunks, can't actually contain Harutagon because his name is too damn good. So Harutagon escapes Tapion's body, and the old man, Hoi, he just sits there and he goes, "Heh heh, only I have the power to command Harutagon." And this is a US only line. I'm like, why did they dub in that weird line? And it was foreshadowing because it steps on him in the next shot. I was like,
rest
oh, that's
in peace, Troy Baker.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he's Troy Baker.
God damn it. Oh, yeah, this is around that time he was doing bit parts in Funimation.
Yep, he did a bunch of bit parts in Funimation around then. He's in Case Closed.
I did not notice on this one.
He is a side villain in the original Full Metal Alchemist.
Cool. Goku then goes Super Saiyan 3 because, you know, that's a thought. He's going to fight Harutagon the only way he knows how, letting Harutagon punch him to realize he's only solid when he attacks.
Here is the best line in anything we've watched so far.
Oh, damn. I thought it was like Goku going weirdly deep.
No.
Oh, yeah.
It's only in the sub. It's only in the Japanese.
Okay.
He's holding back the punch, and I am not fucking making this up, I promise. He's like, I have to do it. I'm Goku. If I can't do it, who will?
So that's why they titled it that.
So it's even more fantastic that a shot or two later, he pulls off his amazing technique of sidestepping a punch from Harutagon.
Well, Dan, you see, Harutagon can only attack three times in a row.
That's true. I've watched anime.
Yeah, then he has to reset.
So,
I've learned so much.
He sidestepped that punch, and then he just goes, Ryuken! And explodes a dragon out of his fucking punch, and then the dragon wraps around Harutagon, and it's golden, and it's fucking sick as shit, and it explodes, and then Harutagon's rendered as pixels. Just little sparkles flying up into the sky. The end.
And then I had a seizure because of the epileptic attack that happened.
Yeah, there was a lot of seizure warnings this episode, I feel.
Yeah,
like,
the title screen was an epilepsy for some reason.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It wasn't even good looking.
No.
It was artistically terrible.
We're just going to flash
to kill us. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that... I thought someone had tried to explain to me that this made sense, but it clearly did not.
Because they said this thing over and over. Because I was roommates with someone. We're going to leave the best someone for this podcast. I was roommates with someone. I walk in towards this ending, and I'm like, this seems really stupid. This is... I saw maybe the last 5 minutes of this, and I'm like, this just seems fucking weird and not like Dragon Ball Z. And also, where the hell did he get that technique? I'm just like, no, it's good.
Yeah, it was me. I was the roommate.
I could have sworn someone was like, no, it's good. And now I'm watching this whole thing and I'm like, yeah, that really did just come out of nowhere other than the title of the movie in Japan.
Yes.
So everything's fine now. They give Tapion a time machine and send him off. And then it ends.
Yeah. And the implication is that the sword he gave to... that he gave to Trunks is the sword future Trunks has, which just doesn't work in any possible interpretation of the timeline or events or anything.
I was having a seizure most of this film because I realized Tapion existed solely to do this for Trunks. And I had that moment in the back of my head, that thought in the back of my head. And I was like, maybe they won't do that. And then Trunks started meeting him secretly in the warehouse. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, we need to link this in a way that makes literally zero sense.
It's a cool idea. It just, you know, timeline-wise makes negative sense.
Also, Bulma should not be allowed to just hand out time machines like that. That's not safe.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck she's thinking. But whatever. It's Dragon Ball, Bob.
Yeah.
It's Dragon Ball. They get a split timeline.
That's true.
Yeah, they establish that it doesn't matter. She's like, well, doesn't fuck with me. Sure, take it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly. She basically just gave him a weapon and then said, okay, get on this flight to another country. You're no longer my problem.
Yeah, whatever. It's not Back to the Future.
No, she's rich. That doesn't make sense for her, you know.
Self-defense. Okay. So anyways, that's the whole movie.
Thank you, Dan. We have three segments that we have to mold.
I want to go first. Videl was best dressed. She has some nice comfy clothes in this movie.
In this set of episodes.
In this set of episodes.
Field, do you have a random piece of Dragon Ball trivia for us?
I can't give you that until we have to talk about who can defeat Jiren.
Okay, well, first up is the Yamcha Award. Dan, who's the Yamcha of this movie?
So there's this group of characters. You may know them as the Z Fighters.
You can't select all of them, Dan.
This is bullshit. This is a bold move. No one's ever tried this before. I should be rewarded for
okay.
For ingenuity.
I'll allow it if KZ allows it.
Sure.
Yes! Yes!
Okay, Bob, your turn.
Okay, let's see. Everyone, let's see. Who specifically isn't the Z Warrior? Tapioca.
Why? What's wrong with tapioca pudding?
He doesn't even attack once. He literally cannot attack.
He plays an ocarina that's called a flute sometimes.
Only in the Japanese version.
Yeah, isn't it weird? Doesn't he give his sword to Trunks and Trunks immediately starts cutting up pieces?
Yeah, Trunks just starts owning him. It's like, why didn't you just give the sword to anyone who can fight, you idiot?
Yeah.
Well, he imprinted on the kid. He's like, oh, you're like kind of like my brother, so I'll give you the sword.
Well, no, we're talking about the mid fight.
Yeah,
it's like if you had handed anyone that sword, he wouldn't have even made it to that second form.
Yeah, if Gotenks had that sword, that thing would have been ended.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Look. There. Did you want there to be a movie or not? That's ultimately what it boils down.
I wanted the movie to be fun at any point, and they decided they didn't want that.
Look, this movie would go up several points if it was 10 minutes shorter, all because Tapion goes, my sword has the ability to kill it, but I'm a bitch. Here, you take it, Goku. And Goku's like, good.
And then Omni slashes him.
Yeah, exactly.
No, here's why he couldn't give it to Goku. He properly understands Goku's character and realizes Goku would go, nah, I want a good fight, and then throw it into space or something, and they'd be fucked.
But see, here's the thing. This movie had a different Goku, one that's like, everything has a weakness. Everything with a beginning has an end, Hildegard.
I stand right here.
He becomes the JRPG final boss.
He's like, yes, this is it right here. I stand here and I say everything with the beginning has an end. And then he does a single punch to Hildegard and explodes him. Yeah, I would give it a 7.
Okay. Alright, I'm gonna give it to Vegeta.
I guess he's not a warrior.
Because
now.
He apparently was forced into getting a part-time job for this movie only.
Also, this movie gives you the moral that caring about others makes you weaker, because Vegeta gets owned because he tries to protect people.
All right, Phil's turn.
Troy Baker.
Aww.
He does get owned pretty bad.
Yeah, he's like, I can control. No, and it's over.
But he does manage to fool every single character in the DBZ universe.
That's not a difficult task.
He also manages to arc with energy 4 feet behind them.
That's true.
Next segment, can they beat Jiren? You got to pick a character from this film and propose to me why they would be able to defeat Jiren, a powerful guy in Dragon Ball Super. We're going to start with Feel.
A sideswipe from Transformers. He's one of Trunks' toys.
Oh.
Oh my god.
I felt like I was lost.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
And I know you've been cooking that one up too.
Oh yeah.
That's why you asked about the Jiren shit. You're like, no, this one's good.
I noticed that when the first time I watched it 4 months ago.
Shh. We record these over the course of a week. Don't worry about it.
Bob.
I guess Hildegard. I don't think that Jiren would be able to figure out the whole waiting till he attacks to attack him thing. And I don't think that Jiren could spawn a dragon either. So clearly, he can't win.
All right, well, Dan.
Hoi, because he would hand him a box that wouldn't open, and Jiren would never win that fight. He would never be able to open that box. He would never rely on Shenlong to open that box. He would be trapped.
I'm going to say this version of Goku. He seems too capable and smart.
God, if in Super, Goku just could pull out the Ryuken, that would be hilarious.
I want a version of GT with this Goku. That's yeah, a way better
show. Instead of brain-damaged Goku who can't do things.
Goku who stares into the middle distance for 15 minutes, wakes up, and solves the episode.
Yes.
Goku's like floating in front of that pedophile. Instead of being concerned with the start of life, be concerned with the end, and then eviscerates him. Remember that shot in the first Cooler movie where Goku, it just shows the cave, cut away, cuts back, and Goku's standing there like a horror movie monster?
Yes.
This Goku does that constantly.
Okay. The last of our segments is what you need to pick a character from like the shows, any of them from Dragon Ball. And say, this person can fight the villain of our film that we just watched, Harutagurn. We're going to start with Dan.
I already started one segment, so I'm going to be honest, I zoned out. I was like, I can't be the first, like, multiple times.
Oh,
okay, that
Bob, we'll start.
Let's see. Majin Buu, he turned into bar candy and eat it.
Ooh.
Yeah, Fat Buu, he'd do that.
Where the fuck was he?
I don't know. He didn't exist because Vegeta didn't exist for half this movie.
Yeah, fucking, it's insane. For all we know, it was his day off, too.
Yes.
And that day was multiple days long.
I want a day off.
They should have just cut to, like, Majin Buu and Hercule fishing with that dog with them. Yeah. Like, it's real peaceful and they're in a little boat.
I'm pretty sure if Harutagurn stepped on the dog, fucking Hercule would have gone Super Saiyan.
Feel.
I'm gonna go with Master Roshi's master Mutaito.
Oh,
because
okay.
He can use the evil containment.
Yeah,
way.
Yeah,
of course.
Like, he's going for it. Look at him go.
I'm gonna pick the easy one. I'm gonna pick Zenos for Dragon Ball Super, the character that can just delete anything it wants. Seems pretty easy.
Yeah, that seems like a really good ability.
Yeah.
What is this, a stand?
No, it's Super God.
Oh, okay.
Dan.
So since we're counting the TV run, even if it's filler, as canonical characters, right?
Of course.
Yeah, because sometimes we wanted to use GT, and it's like, sure, whatever you want.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say Garlic Jr. would toss it into the dead zone, trapping it in a much better portal.
As soon as you said filler, I'm like, please say Garlic Jr.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just like, oh, cool, you were trapped inside of a person? How about I trap you inside of fucking nothing? Eat shit, motherfucker.
I'll go,
trap
too.
You. I'll go, too.
I love it there. That would be great, actually. It would be really, really great for people to be like, Garlic Jr., did you just save us all? And he's like, yeah. They're like, thank you. And then he just starts tearing up and he's like, I've never heard that before in my life.
Okay, well, Phil, do you have a random piece of Dragon Ball trivia?
I already gave it that it was Sideswipe being in the movie.
Oh, God damn it. I didn't know it was double layered. All right. It's my favorite part of the show. We get to give our little mini review of what we watched and score it from 0 to 7 with a maximum score of who knows. My brain doesn't even want to invoke its name because I feel like we might hit it this time. There's a lot of opportunities here. I'm going to start with Feel.
This movie has a lot of neat visuals and stuff, and it has ideas that it then does not execute on at all. I'm going to give it like a 3. It's in the lower half, but it's not abysmal.
All right, Dan.
I'm gonna give it a 1. I think there's like one or two neat shots in it. The villain design isn't the worst, but the battles really are, and the ending really is. And while there's some neat lore stuff, it doesn't really do enough to make it neat enough in my idea. And as I look at my ranking of all of these, I go, yeah, and it belongs in the one tier. It belongs down there, you know.
Up there with Tree of Might, Bardock.
Yes.
History of Trunks.
Yes. If anything, the real debate was whether or not to put it at zero.
Yeah.
But there are
joining your other zeros like Bio Broly playing to eradicate the Saiyans.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. It's got an edge on those two, so that puts it at a strong
one. Yeah, there's no good line like this Goku one.
God, that Goku line's really good. Once again, should have rewritten the whole thing with the basis of Goku's this guy now.
Bob, I think you're going to be a beacon of positivity on this film. What do you got?
This is like, it's incredibly bad. I honestly, like, sitting here looking at the things I've rated, I'm like, it's better than some of these ones, but it's not as good as these twos.
See?
It can't even hit a two.
Dude, that's what I just went through. I was looking at my twos, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's no Bio Brawly in my mind. It's no Tree of Might.
See, for me, my twos end up at Sleeping Princess in Devil's Castle, and I go, that was neater.
That was way better. Every single fight is intensely bad. The story is boring. The new guy does nothing. Tapioca looks cool and just sits there playing music.
And see, that's the thing.
Yeah, this is
something I neglected to mention during my review. Not only is the plot boring, it seems to not keep track of all of its marbles and just seems to ignore people as long as it benefits it.
Yeah, like we introduce Krillin as part of the main team, then you just push him away. Like
a monster attacks and these two have to save it. No one else at the party cares.
Yeah, like they seem like they're written completely separately.
And it's so weird because most Dragon Ball movies are way too occupied what Oolong thinks about shit.
So yeah, this movie is miserable. I'm giving it a one. It only doesn't get a zero because it doesn't look like it was made by like children.
Yes, that's that is definitely worth emphasizing here. This isn't anywhere near the worst looking
right
Dragon Ball movie.
There's some parts that look good, but there's no fight scene that even looks like it was choreographed.
It's a shame that there's no like effects or mechanical designs in this that are like really really great. Right? Because some movies, you get some cool landscape shots or other things are strong.
This could have been cool. This is them fighting in, like, populated cities. That's not something DBZ characters normally do.
Right.
They usually try and get away from that.
Yeah.
Protect people. So yeah. This time we got the one neat thing of Vegeta trying to protect people and making that a thing, and then we just ignore it.
It's weird, yeah. That's the only time it happens in the whole thing. The rest of the time, people get eaten and tentacle pierced and all sorts of gross shit. And they don't get saved.
Yeah.
They show Gohan and Videl doing superhero things at the start. But at the end, it's like, no, we can't like show Videl carrying people out of harm's way or anything.
Yeah.
That might be interesting.
Yeah. That could form a neat set piece or something.
Like one animator wanted to draw Vegeta saving people and the rest of them didn't care.
Like, remember when the History of Trunks got high on acid and became a horror movie music video for some reason?
Yeah.
You remember the part where they just mirrored the fucking background?
Yeah, of course. That lives in me. That's going to be a part of my DNA for the rest of my life.
You know, that movie is the reason I was worried about rating this a one. I'm like, it's History of Trunks is better. It's messed up. Oh.
Jesus.
Okay.
All right. I've never seen this until this episode.
Neither have I.
Yeah, I really didn't like this at all. Your one way to put me to sleep is make a focus at all any of those children. So I was already like, no, not a fan of this. Tapion fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's a real not
so great. Watching this movie made me like go through like the butterfly effect, eyes twitching as I recall things, where it's like, what the fuck is, like, I want Tapion in Fighters. Have you seen the movie? Did you see his design on a Google search and be like, well, he looks cool. He does nothing.
It's really cool that he inspired Trunks to hang out in abandoned warehouses.
You know, it happened again. It's one of those moments where you don't really know about a thing that's related to Dragon Ball, and you're like, that's really cool. I call it the future Gohan effect.
Yes.
where you think they're super cool. This is a Gohan that doesn't have an arm. Oh, all he does is deadpan Ryan Gosling stare at fucking Trunks to make him go Super Saiyan.
And this is the funny thing, KZ. If I hadn't seen the ending before today and I'd watched the whole thing and I'd just seen the designs, I might have had the exact same effect I had with Future Trunks, where I was like, no, that has to be cool as hell, right?
Surely Tappy, this kicks ass.
Tapion is even lower than Future Trunks, because even like Dragon Ball Superheroes doesn't give a shit about Tapion. There's no shit like, here's Future Trunks going Super Saiyan 3. Here's Future Gohan going Super Saiyan 3 like they do, but Tapion gets nothing.
See, here's the thing. I thought you were going to say it's not as good as Future Trunks, because literally Future Trunks has really bad coaching, but at least he coaches. Tapion does nothing.
I'm staring at every film we've done. Mm-hmm. The other 18 ones we've done, Harutagarn is the worst fucking one of these.
For villains, yeah.
Yeah, I look at him and I'm like, even Curse of the Blood Ruby's dude who gets really big at least looks better than this weird mustard bastard.
At least Curse of the Blood Ruby's had like the big dude with the weird chain staff that had a jet pad to fight Goku on his cloud, so it had
something.
Gonna
be honest, don't remember that at all. But sure.
Shit outside of that castle was pretty cool for a bit there.
It's a void.
KZ, he might not have been in the version you watched, because you watched some weird fucked up version that had the anime cut into it.
That's true.
Okay, the point is here.
Uh-huh.
Worst fucking, easily the worst looking villain we've ever gotten.
He's even worse than freaking Planet of the Eradicate of the Saiyans. And that was just a weird...
Yes, the Hachiak at least has colors I can get into and a big forehead.
Yeah, and at least like, oh, he has big gems on him. They're actually his weakness. That's something.
Yeah, the fight has a mechanic.
That was an animation made on $20.
Yeah. Thank God this had a budget. It might have gone into the negatives.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm in the same place. If this was not animated well at all, it would be a zero, but instead it gets a one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Casey,
this ties it with Bardock. Which one's better?
Bardock.
All right, there you go.
I feel like I was the hardest on Bardock, and even I'm just like, yeah, no, if we have to rank these two.
This doesn't have Solid State Scouter in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you make some... No, it's fine. It deserves to be in the red zone. I was like, can we make some special zone that's half blood red for, like, Bardock from this?
For people who don't know, if this is your first episode, we have a Google Sheets that is set up specifically for our rankings, and the worst things are in the thing that's just a black box with red text. Only the worst things are in there.
The fact it's a split mid and identical score is really funny to me.
They have the same score, but they're in different categories.
It's like I wish Bardock had like an insane budget, like a budget much closer to this one and a cleaner animation.
Whatever, that movie was more redeemable. Zarbon got high and then got scared about Saiyans and told Frieza to kill all of them.
He's so smart.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna change it.
It's gonna match. You're gonna colors. Take him out of the blood zone.
Yeah, I'm gonna take him out of the black and blood red zone.
Okay, that's reserved for anything that gets below a 6, I guess.
Yep. Yep.
Wow. All right. I can't give you scores, but I'll count you down. Audience, here's our top 19 Dragon Ball films, starting at the bottom. Number 19, Plan to Eradicate the Saiyans. If you have a Playdia, you should check that out. It got a 1. The only person who gave it a point was Feel.
And really, that was just because there was a couple things in it that will stick with me for being funny.
Not for me. Number 18, Bio Broly. Number 17, The Return of Cooler.
Or as we like to call it, the Crayola Special.
Number 16, History of Trunks. 1 point below six. Tragic. Very tragic.
Very tragic.
It could have escaped. Number 15, what we just watched, Wrath of the Dragon. Then number 14, Bardock, Father of Goku. Number 13, Tree of Might. Number 12, Sleeping Princess and Devil's Castle. Number 11, Broly, the second one. Number 10, Curse of the Blood Rubies. Number 9, Broly, the one. Number 8, Mystical Adventure. Number 7, World's Strongest. Number 6, Bojack Unbound. Number 5, Cooler's Revenge. Number 4, Fusion Reborn, which I forgot scored incredibly highly based on one scene where Gogeta says, "Your vibes are horrendous," and blew a dude up.
Yeah!
Which was so good, it got me and Bob to give that movie a 6. number 3, Lord Slug. Number 2, Super Android 13. Number 1, Dead Zone.
I have two things to point out.
Podcast 4 of 19.
Yeah, exactly. That happened so early on. Dead Zone did.
Yes.
Yep.
I have two things to point out.
Sure.
One, I thought going in, like, if you recall, if you go back and listen to older episodes of Mondo Cool, I assumed Fusion Reborn would have been terrible. And the reason why is I had seen the ending of Wrath of the Dragon and the beginning of Fusion Reborn, and I'm like, it's probably just going to be the same level of just bad.
It was funny because the whole time is you go, no, Fusion Reborn's going to be terrible. Feels like, no, it's going to be good. Then turns out you give it a 5, Phil gives it a 2.
Yeah, I almost fell asleep.
That's because you have narcolepsy.
I don't know that I could go through it again, but it was a really great first time watch all the way through. there's some really cool shit that happens in that. I really wish Wrath of the Dragon had really cool shit. Okay. Second thing I wanted to point out, and I'm curious if you guys agree, as you go up the scale from number 19 to number 1, I feel like the IQ level of the script goes up on a perfect slope.
Are you sure?
I'm trying to see ones that are just unbelievably stupid near the top because the bottom is just the idiot club.
Okay, because I was thinking number 13, Broly with Paragus's plan. I don't think that's particularly smarter than Wrath of the Dragon.
It has a lot of confidence in its stupidity, though. Whereas this one feels like it brushes it under the carpet. Like, yeah, we don't want to talk about this mystical lore we made up. Just, he plays a flute, okay?
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
what about Lord Slug, where the dude keeps popping pills?
You can do one small... Yeah, Lord Slug is incredible. But more importantly, you can make Broly, the first one, an incredibly smart script if you just add one scene of him being like, "My astrologers thought this fucking comet would hit the planet 3 days sooner." We're fucked.
I'm looking at that. That would have shot that movie up to a 20 on ours.
That would have been incredible. It's now just a sitcom as he tries to entertain his guests. He's now played by Jason Alexander, Broly's dad is.
Jesus.
No!
They're trying to get in the capsule. He's like, "You can't go." They're like, "What? Why not?" He's like, "It's a bad time of the year to go. The weather's going to be real bad. You should just stay."
Okay. Well, that's our 19th film. To close us out, as always, is Phil wrote a summary thingy, a next time preview, for our 20th episode of Mondo Cool, and Bob's going to read it.
Okay. Oh, no. It's back to Dragon Ball. Are we going to have to see Rasuroshi being a creep again? Oh, no. Oolong is back. Oh no, Oolong is going to be back. I hope this at least looks cool. Oh my god, I cannot read this name. Next time on Mondo Cool, Dragon Ball Path to Power.
We gotta record these more often. You are gone. Out of practice.
Yes, I wasn't expecting this sentence stop structure to it.